BootlaNetwork.com, episode 209. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. Today is episode 209, Five Steps to Fix Your Business Problems. You go by a store and they've got help wanted signs out front. Doesn't always mean that they need employees. Sometimes they need other kind of help. We're going to tell you about five steps to fix your business problems. We'll do it next. Hope all is well with you. Welcome to Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, where it's cold as kraut. Man, it's been an odd winter. We've had 70 degree days. We've had nearly 80 degree days, and then we've been in the teens. And sometimes over the span of about a 72 hour period, 48 hours even. So there's a lot of sickness, coughing, hacking, wheezing, flu, all kinds of crud going on. Anyway, you may be listening to this and it may be summer. Boy, that'd be nice. I'm not ready for summer, but I am ready for spring. Speaking of spring, we like spring because it's a fresh start. Flowers are blooming and the trees are coming back into whatever trees do, full bloom. It's just kind of a fresh start. And sometimes we need that with our businesses as well. You know, for many, it is the American dream to start your own business. Okay, if you're in Europe or Asia or Australia or some other country besides the United States of America, maybe it's your dream too. I don't think it's exclusive to the American experience. Sadly, for too many people, I think the dream turns into a nightmare because, well, there are many entrepreneurs that over time, they find that not only is it not the dream that they thought it was, but it's a job that they can't get away from. You seen people like that? Is that you? So that help wanted sign may not indicate the need for an employee, but rather the need to break free or the need to solve some problem. Carol Roth, she wrote a book called The Entrepreneur Equation. It's a great book, and I would highly recommend it. And she and a few others have written about the need for people to think very soberly and very seriously about what they want before embarking on a chase that just may not be perfect for them. Now, I agree with Ms. Roth that entrepreneurship isn't always the best dream for everybody. I mean, the failure rate continues to be extraordinarily high. In fact, according to Statistic Brain, the rate of failure among startups, it increases over time. That seems odd, doesn't it? You'd think that over time, a business owner would be, well, you would think that they would become more accomplished and they would break through to that wild and crazy Mark Zuckerberg Facebook kind of success that we all hear about, that we all dream of. Well, it can happen. That kind of success can happen. The odds aren't favorable for it. No, they're not favorable at all. And of course, I am speaking in general terms because every industry is different. Markets are different. Timing and skill, those things, they play a major role. And so you've got all of these moving parts. And success is far from being guaranteed that all of those parts will come together in just the perfect way to bring about success. It's ironic that a lot of people start their own business because they don't want to work for somebody else. And unfortunately, as Ms. Roth and others have observed, and maybe you have learned this, and maybe you've learned it the hard way, you wind up starting your own business and you wind up working for a lot more people than you ever worked for before. I mean, maybe now you're working for that credit card company where you racked up all that debt. Maybe you got friends and family that you took some money from. They loaned money to you for your enterprise, or maybe a bank. And of course, then there's the customers. Who can forget the customers? These demanding, in fact, overly demanding customers who just want more and more and more and don't want to pay for it. Maybe you've got partners. And of course, they've got their own expectations and their own demands. I mean, the list of people that you must keep happy, it just continues to grow and grow and grow. And over time, the life that you remember that you had back on the horrid J-O-B, where you had one boss, man, you're thinking, give me that life. But other people, hoping to craft work that is just more rewarding than their old job, they find their checking account dwindling. The savings is exhausted. The income is just continuing to drop lower and lower, and they're trapped. And oftentimes they despair about what they should do. Well, what can you do? What can you do if business isn't what you dreamed it would be? What can you do to fix your own small business? And no, I'm not going to start by telling you that, well, just shut it down. Now, that clearly is an option. Quitting is always an option. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, but that's not one of the five things that I want to talk to you about today. And I'm not going to tell you, by the way, that it is a cowardly thing to do, to quit. Because it is a viable option that every frustrated business owner has to carefully consider. But the goal today is to help you find solutions to fix your business. Now, here in this part of the country, this is oil field country. You know, you get Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and all in here. It's a lot of oil and gas drilling. Historically, that's always gone on. And my family roots, my grandfather was what's called a wildcatter. Wildcatters were people that just, they went out and they drilled wells on spec. That is, they speculated that, you know, there might be oil here. And it wasn't just some, you know, waiting for some sign. I mean, there was a little bit of ingenuity and a little bit of geology involved, but it was basically building on spec. You know, there are home builders and they may build houses that are custom made pre-sold. There are other builders and they'll build on what's called spec. That is, they're speculating that they'll be able to build this house in this subdivision and they'll be able to sell it and make a profit. Well, there's not a lot of wildcatting that goes on in the oil field business these days, I don't suppose. But you know, back in the, back in the 50s and 60s, there was significantly more of it, I'll put it that way. And so they would go and they would drill a well and they would speculate that there might be oil here. Well, it costs money to drill a well just like it does to build a house. And if you don't hit oil, well, you don't make any money. Now, the question is for a wildcatter, if you've poked a hole in the ground here and now you've moved 1,000 yards in any direction and you've poked another hole and it's dry, how many more times are you going to drill in that area? How many times are you going to drill before you realize, you know, we're going to pick up stakes and we're going to move to a different spot? And so was born this phrase, it's a dry hole, let's plug it and move on. Meaning it doesn't matter, we can keep on drilling, we're not going to hit anything. All we're doing is costing ourselves money. Sometimes in your business, you can be drilling a dry hole. Do you keep drilling? Or do you stop, quit, do something else? Well, these are real serious decisions that have to be considered. Today, I want to talk with you about five steps to fix your business problems. These could be problems, by the way, that range from anything from cash flow to revenue generation to lead generation to quality issues to customer experience problems to I've got a job. I'm working 100 hours a week and my family business is okay, but it's costing me everything else. So let's talk about these five things. Number one, triage yourself and the business. I'm not talking about going back to examine why you started your business or any other kind of touchy-feely mumbo-jumbo. Now, that ship sailed. Now it's time to take a hard look at what is wrong. What's the problem? Where is the pain? What is the source of this suffering? Is it not enough revenue? Is it not enough profit? Is it no life outside of business? Is it delivery to customers? Is it the execution of whatever the service or the product you provide? Whatever it is, think about the trifecta of business building that serves as my focus here at Bula Network. One, getting new customers. Two, serving existing customers better. And three, not going crazy in the process. Now, in my experience of triaging business problems, I often find two of these are in play when the owner's misery factor is really high. Sometimes all three. But I almost always find that if the owner is unhappy, if the owner is miserable, at least two of these are in play. What about you? You can't fix what ails you until you first properly diagnose the problem. And do not get ahead of yourself. This is a horrific problem. I've seen people try to fix problems that weren't really problems. This isn't the time for knee-jerk reactions. I mean, well, come to think of it, is there ever a good time for a knee-jerk reaction? Well, yeah, okay. When you're sitting in a doctor's office and he's got that little rubber mallet that he hits you in the kneecap with to check your reflexes, that's a good time for a knee-jerk reaction. But other than that, I can't think of one. You need to give this some sober and serious thought. I would suggest that you bring your team together if you've got one. And if you don't have a team, then I would suggest that you bring together the people who help you in your business. I don't care if we're talking about an online business where you've got some virtual assistants. I don't care if you've got collaborators. You need to find the other people that are involved directly or indirectly in your business, and you need to join minds on the problems as you see them. Because here's the question. Do other people see what you see? Are other people feeling what you're feeling? I mean, come on, you're the owner. My guess is going to be that if you've got a problem, if it's a significant problem, the answer is going to be yes. They do see what you see. Now, they may not see it the way you see it, and they're probably going to feel what you feel, and they may not feel it the way you feel it. Or is this problem just specific to you? Now, it may be if, and this is a big if, it may be if it deals mostly with the fact that, well, you never see your family. Okay, the fact that you never see your family, if I'm an employee working for you, that's not much of a problem for me because I don't see your family either, but I don't need to see your family. And when you're triaging the problem, I think it's important, and it seems that it should go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, focus on the problem. Don't scattershoot and list 12 problems. Think about the problem. Narrow it down to the one thing that's causing the most pain. Think about it this way. If you go to the ER, if you go to the emergency room and you have some life-threatening injury, the doctors are not going to worry too much about your headache. First of all, they've got to save your life. They're going to worry about the lesser problems, your headache and whatever other aches and pains you've got. They're going to worry about that later. You have to do the same thing when you're triaging your business problems. And part of triage is determining the severity of the problem. Is it life-threatening? Is it mildly aggravating? Is it horrifically aggravating? I mean, just because it's not life-threatening doesn't mean that it's not urgent. Doesn't mean that it's not important. But it does mean that you can likely take a little bit more time to examine it. And so you have to have a clear understanding of the nature of the problem before you can ever hope to find a remedy. Number two, find the root of the problem. So now that you've identified the problem, you have to get to the source. When the ER patient is bleeding profusely, the doctors know the problem is excessive bleeding. Okay, well, that's not enough information to fix the problem. I mean, it's great to have identified the problem, but that won't fix it. You've got to find out, why is this happening? What's really going on here? And depending on the nature of the problem, this can be quickly identified, or it can be, well, it can be tough as nails. Our ER patient may have suffered a stabbing. Well, okay, pretty obvious problem. It's pretty easy to see. Hey, he's been stabbed. But what if he hasn't been stabbed? And what if we can't see any obvious sign? What if the bleeding is internal? No outward signs of injury. Okay, well, the problem just got a lot tougher. A lot tougher. It's going to take some time to find the problem. Where is the source of this bleeding? And so it is with your business woes. Now, maybe it's something very obvious. Maybe your business problem is something very obvious like lack of sales, bleeding. Okay, why? Why are sales slagging? Well, that may not be so obvious. Is it pricing? Is it your offer? Is your quality? Well, or your lack of quality a problem? Maybe it's marketing. Maybe it's positioning. Why aren't people buying? You'll have to spend some hours, maybe days, maybe weeks, mulling that over. And there's no time like the present. So my suggestion is, start mulling right now. Maybe it's something else, though. Equally obvious. Maybe you're working 100 hours a week and your family's a mess. Well, why are you working 100 hours a week? This problem, well, in my experience, this problem is far more common than you may think. And the reasons are all over the place. They vary wildly. I've encountered business people who have declared how miserable they were working 80 to 100 hours a week. And then you dive in a little bit closer and realize that they're facing the reality that they do what they do because they want to. Oh yeah, they're miserable. But in some cases, they're more miserable at home. And they've conned themselves into thinking that the business is wrecking their family. And they're just using the business as an excuse. They're wrecking their family in many cases, from what I've seen, because they're more in love with their business than they are their family. Yeah, that's a problem. No question, that's a problem. Well, it's a problem for me. It's a problem based on my values. It may not be a problem based on yours. I know many successful business people who are on their third and fourth families. I don't quite view that as success, but to each his own. You've got to see the real problem and not just the perceived problem. And this is why you likely need help to identify the real problem. And this is why I think it's incredibly wise for us to seek the counsel of other people, people who are familiar with the situation. And I think it's hugely important for us to listen, really listen, and think about it. You can't fix it until you get to the source. And so this step, it won't tolerate any shortcuts. When the patient is bleeding internally, no shortcuts. We've got to find the source of this because it's urgent. And so you need to dig until you find the real reason that you feel trapped or the real reason for this problem, whatever it may be, in your business. Number three, act now, but consider multiple remedies before deciding on the best long-term fix. That's right. Act now, but consider multiple remedies before deciding on the best long-term fix. You know, if a person's bleeding, we're going to use any method possible to stop the bleeding because it's life-threatening. And what we're going to do is we're going to apply pressure. I mean, that is the main goal early on when someone is bleeding badly. Apply pressure and stop or slow down the bleeding. Because we know if we bleed enough, we die. And so it is with your business. It's life-saving, but it's not a remedy. That tourniquet that we may put on someone's, you know, busted leg to stop the bleeding, that's not a permanent fix. We're just buying time. We're trying to buy time so that we can implement or get an expert to implement a permanent fix. And that's how you have to view your business problem. Because in step one, triage, you've determined if your problem is life-threatening to you or your enterprise. And in that triage process, you've determined if it's pressure that we need or can we kind of methodically and more slowly and perhaps more deliberately try to assess what the best remedy might be. Cash flow. Cash flow is a frequent problem that I encounter. And few things are as urgent to a business as a lack of cash flow. Your business needs cash. Every business needs cash. And when cash runs out or when cash runs low, well, panic. It's time to panic. It's what most of us do. And it can overrun you. A short-term fix might be to sell some things to create some quick cash. Well, that's like immediate pressure put on a wound. It'll slow or stop the bleeding, but that's not going to fix the problem for long. Now, what must be done right now so you can buy some time, that's what you've got to think about. What is that? What is the thing that you need to do right now because you got to buy some time? Because maybe your problem is dire. Well, focus first on that. And then as quickly as you must, examine the various fixes that you might perform. Almost every solution has an upside and has a downside. And so again, I'm going to encourage you to not go it alone. I'm going to encourage you to seek the input of others. Yes, you are the leader. Yes, you own the joint. So the final decision, that's in your lap. But don't be stupid thinking that you've got to go this alone and you alone have got to solve this. Weigh your choices before you settle on the one decision that you feel that you're convinced is the best course of action to fix this problem. And that means you need to pick one. And you need to commit to it wholeheartedly. Number four, if it's not working, change it. If it is working, keep doing it. This is where we have to pay attention to the symptoms. And so we're looking for improvement now. And you've got to be watchful. You've got to be real watchful and real diligent to look for, well, to look for a lack of improvement. You're the doctor, and the health of your business, it's your responsibility. So do not take your eye off the patient. I've seen way too many business owners, they apply pressure. All of a sudden, it seems like, okay, the bleeding has stopped. Okay, we haven't fixed anything yet. And all of a sudden, people are taking their eye off the patient, and eventually the patient falls into a horrible state because we misunderstood that this very temporary fix was the fix. No, don't take your eyes off the problem here. I mean, just because you've gone all in on what you think is now the best long-term fix does not mean, well, it doesn't mean that you remain all in on that fix if that fix is not working. Listen, you have the ability to change your mind based on new information, based on new feedback. I mean, take for instance, a business that suffers a cash crunch can quickly sell off some excessive inventory at a reduced margin. Well, what have they done? I don't know. Let's assume for the sake of this conversation that they've simply bought themselves a month or two. They've bought themselves some time. Well, that's great. That's terrific. But now they have to huddle about how they're going to avoid getting into this pickle again. And how are we going to escape this pickle for good? There may be three suggestions put on the table by the team. And so the owner picks the one that is best, tells the team, this is what we're going to do. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks in, it's very clear, you know, this strategy, we thought it would work, but it ain't working. Well, now what are you going to do? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to abandon that strategy or change it, because you can't be reluctant to alter the course when the strategy appears to be failing. The patient in the hospital and the doctors are doing what they think is the proper treatment. The patient's not responding. The patient's getting worse. What do you think they're going to do? Well, we just need to stay the course. No, they're not going to stay the course. And if you're a family member, you're going to absolutely browbeat them to not stay the course. You want them to do something else. Try something else. This isn't working. If you keep this up, he'll die. Same with your business. So don't fall in love with a single solution. Be willing to change based on the outcome. You need a good outcome. You need to find a remedy. And it's either working or it's not working. Or maybe it's not working well enough. Then step up and be fearless to try something else. Now, sometimes that means swallowing your pride. The doctor who may say, no, I know my diagnosis is right, and they just dig in a position, and meanwhile, the patient gets worse and worse. Okay, we don't want a doctor like that. We want a doctor who says, you know, this is what I thought based on the information I had, and now it's obvious that I'm wrong. I mean, this is not working, so we've got to go back to the drawing board and figure something else out. That's who you want. You want someone willing to do that. Well, you need to be that person for your business. You need to be willing to change if what you're trying is not working, because you're looking for the best long-term fix. And that may require a few changes in medication along the way. That's fine. Do it. Do it, and do it sooner than later. If it works well and it continues to work, hey, keep doing it. My suggestion is to keep putting the fix, keep putting the remedy on trial for its life. I'm a big fan of putting things on trial for their life. I don't care if it's inventory. I don't care if it's a process. I don't care if it's workflow. I don't care if it's performance of people. Put it on trial for its life. Will it withstand being put on trial? If it will, move forward. If it fails the trial, problem. You better start fixing it. Number 5, change the behavior. Change the actions that caused the problem. You can do all the other 4, and if you don't do this one, you haven't accomplished much. You know that stabbing victim that came in the ER? He's a gang member. He's living in a really high-risk lifestyle. But he's going to get stabbed again. If he doesn't make some big changes in his life, he's going to get stabbed again. It's just a matter of time. Your business isn't any different. I mean, the problem that trapped you, the problem that came up and bit you on the backside, that problem can be fixed. But that doesn't mean it's going to stay fixed. Because if the crisis is averted, here's what so many business owners do. Crisis is averted. Great. My work is done. No, it's not. I mean, maybe your life has gone to you know where in a handbasket. You have endured the crisis and you have managed to get some balance back in your life, or you've averted the cash flow crunch or whatever the issue is. Unless you have made some lifestyle changes, that problem's going to come up again. So you cannot assume that your work is over simply because the crisis is over. You know, a bad sales process can create poor sales, no question about it. And that can result in some poor cash flow, and that can result in some low revenues, that can result in some low profits. It's a bad sales process. And in a moment of crisis, Well, in a moment of crisis, we may have a hotshot sales guy, or maybe we ourselves, we're able to go out and we're able to generate a few big sales out of sheer willpower and determination, and because we've got our back up against the wall. And all of a sudden, the pressure's off. Man, we got these two big sales and now life is good. Hey, meanwhile, what about that sales process that was poor to begin with? Oh, well, it's still in place. But we got these two big sales, and so now the crisis is ended and we can just resume business as usual. Yeah, you know what's going to happen. In no time at all, the company is going to be right back where they started. And what if the next time they have a crisis, what if they can't make a few big sales? Well, they're in trouble. They're in trouble because they neglected to change the behavior or the actions that caused their problem in the first place. You know, it's tantamount to a heart patient. Maybe there's blockage. Maybe there's a heart attack. And the patient survives and they're in a life-threatening situation and the doctors do everything necessary. And then they get out of the hospital and the doctor tells them, here's a diet you need to subscribe to. Here's some lifestyle changes you need to make. You need to start getting some exercise and whatnot, because these are the things that helped create your problem to begin with. But now that the crisis is averted, that patient may just go right back to eating the same things, living the same stationary lifestyle that they always lived. And you know what? Eventually they may be back in the hospital because there's been no change in behavior, no change in actions that brought about their initial problem. Your business is no different. It's no different at all. The remedy needs to be a longer term fix. But because now you've got the time to investigate what went wrong so you can get busy making the bigger changes necessary to give you growth and efficiency in your business and maybe your life. And you're just crazy if you don't take advantage of that. I mean, it's great to have survived a heart attack or some heart blockage. But now that you have another chance, don't you want to listen to what the physicians tell you so that you can change the behavior and improve your chances for health? Well, if you've got a brain in your head, the answer is yes. It's no different for your business. Now that the crisis is averted and you've made some changes to seek out some long-term remedies for it, I mean, think, okay, a stent in your heart. It's a long-term fix. It's not a short-term fix. But now you got to change some behaviors. And that last one may be among the hardest of all. I don't know. Do you need somebody to give you outside perspective and candid feedback? Well, hey, that's why I'm here. You can email me. Results, because that's what I'm always after. results@bulanetwork.com. You can click that send voicemail tab over on the right side of the website. You can use your built-in microphone on your iPhone or your iPad or your laptop and just hit record. It'll send it right to me. Pretty cool. I hope your business is not suffering anything that's fatal. Our businesses tend to, you know, they get sick sometimes. Hey, it's winter and we got people coughing and hacking around, but you know, spring's coming and some of the people that are hacking and coughing now, they won't. And other people who are really allergic to stuff, they'll start hacking and coughing. And you know, but overall, can we maintain some health? Yeah, sure we can. Sure we can. You know, can we take some precautions and can we take some medication and can we do some things to fix what ails us? Absolutely. Absolutely. Shame on us if we don't. It's your business. It's your life. And you do control your own destiny. And I think it's just time that you accept that and do the best you can. Hey, I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast. You can do that through Stitcher Radio, or you can do it through iTunes. There are links over at the website, Bula, Network.com. Bula is a Fiji term, by the way. It means life. In particular, it means life is good. I think it is, and came across the term, oh, I don't know, 30 years ago plus. And I just, good term. Thought it was a good term. Not from Fiji. Never been to Fiji. Maybe one day I'll go. Maybe not. Doesn't matter. I still love the term. So I named my company after the term Bula Network. A network only in the sense that it's just a variety of things that we do for businesses. Because here we are all about, well, we're all about building stronger, predictably profitable businesses. That's it's all about the business of building businesses. So we'd like to help you build yours. Hope you found something profitable in today's episode. I love your feedback. Again, results@bulanetwork.com is how you can email me. My name is Randy Cantrell. City of origin is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. This is the Yellow Studio.